The impression proponents of affirmative action try to make is that it balances the playing field, makes up for past wrongs perceived and otherwise, and affords equal opportunity. Now, when it comes to college admissions, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld in a 6-2 decision a state's right to ban racial preferences in public college admissions. And joining us now is a UCLA professor who has spoken out for a long time against affirmative action when it involves college admissions. He's also an author whose books include Left Turn and the soon-to-be-released Cheating, an Insider's Report on the Use of Race by Admissions at UCLA. We say good morning to Professor Tim Grossclose. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Chris.
And let's start with a review of the Supreme Court decision. Interesting, again, Anthony Kennedy's voice is always the key one. And this was sort of, in a way, some people call this a three-part decision. You had the five of the majority agreeing with voter initiative Michigan put forth. Anthony Kennedy sort of straddling the fence but still siding with the six, and then you had the two who wrote in the dissent with, Justice Sotomayor, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, read the 58-page dissent from the bench, which they usually do that. It was Sotomayor, by the way. They usually do that when they're really annoyed by the majority decision. But what does the 6-2 case hinge itself on as far as affirmative action in college admissions?
The key with this one, the pro-affirmative action group was trying to say that it was illegal for the Michigan voters to do it. The Michigan voters said, no, we don't want to have. We want to ban affirmative action. The group, I think it's Coalition to Defend Affirmative Action, what they wanted to say is the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment disallowed the Michigan voters to do that. And I think all conservatives were against that and said that it's pretty clear the 14th Amendment, it does allow Michigan voters to do that. And at one point, In fact, I don't even think all liberals even agreed with it. I think many liberals said this is a stretch. I don't think we're going to win this. And I think the stretch of the argument or the tortured logic that the affirmative action side was using, I think became clear at one point. There's a dramatic moment in the hearings where Antonin Scalia asked one of the lawyers, he said, "My goodness, I thought the 14th Amendment protected all races." And then the other person just did not have a good response to that.
When you look at some of the stats, again, this is what the proponents of affirmative action are saying, that since this decision was put into place by the voters of Michigan, public colleges, African-American enrollment dropped 33%, the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor between 2006-2012, even as overall enrollment grew by 10%. Well, isn't the counter to that being, well, okay, if you make a level playing field, much like in a workplace environment, those who work harder to achieve more will earn more in the private workplace. Those who study harder will be able to pass whatever tests, exams, dissertations are needed to get into the college that they want.
Yes, definitely true. And it's true. We saw the same thing in California when we passed Prop 209. African-American admissions dropped especially significantly. Asian admissions rose, and Latino dropped a little bit. It turns out that I've obtained a huge data set from UCLA. A colleague and I did a Public Records Act request. It's a California law similar to the Federal Freedom of Information Act. And soon I will post this on a website. And once you see the data, you kind of see why this is. I wish it weren't true, but it turns out African Americans do score significantly lower than the other races, at least among UCLA admissions. They score slightly lower, not as much on grades, but on both grades and SAT scores, they are lower. So when you do any sort of strictly colorblind admission system, African Americans are going to drop. So when you end the affirmative action for African Americans, as Prop 209 did, as Prop 2 did in Michigan, you're going to see a drop like that actually occurred.
And again, just being factual here, and human nature being what it is, if you are a person, no matter what race you are, I mean, let's just put this out open. If I know that I'm going to have an easier time, I'm going to have a bell curve when I want to go to attain something, like it or not, there are people out there who are going to say, well, I'll slip it down to second gear instead of standing on the gas pedal.
Right, right. There is that argument. I want to also call attention to a book by a colleague of mine at UCLA. His name's Richard Sander. He's written a book called Mismatch, and his point. He's actually a liberal. So we've been working together on a lot of this. I'm Republican. He's a Democrat, but. He came to oppose affirmative action because he saw its harmful effects. He was on a admissions committee or sort of an advisory board for the UCLA law school and just noticed how much poorly black students were doing once they got to law school. Now, once he started getting some data and analyzing this, he noticed that this would be true for two students, a black and white student, who were equally match going into law school. They had the same grades, same SAT scores. But he was finding that all across the country, black students were doing worse in law school and also doing worse when they took the bar exam. And he started studying this and came to realize that the culprit was affirmative action. So if you take those two students, equally matched, the black student would get put into a school more prestigious than the white student, and all of a sudden he or she would arrive at law school and then just be over his head, would not understand the material as well, and also would be at a school that did not teach the bar exam as much as the less prestigious schools. So he found that the racial gap would actually become magnified after law school. And he said that he blamed affirmative action for this. So among one of his estimates, he finds that among the bar passage rates, the black-white gap is something like 39%. Whites pass it something like 90% rate the first time. Blacks pass it something like a 50 or 51 or 52% the first time. He found, according to his statistical results, if you just get rid of affirmative action, that black-white gap would shrink to one-third its current size. Two-thirds of it would disappear. So there's a lot of reasons to be against affirmative action, I'd argue. One is that it's, as my colleague has shown, it's not clear it's even helping the people it's intended to help.
Dartmouth Professor Tim Grossclose, UCLA professor, author of the book Left Turn, soon to be released as well, Cheating, an Insider's Report on the Use of Race by Admissions at UCLA. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Let's talk about, because along with Michigan, California, as mentioned, Prop 209, Florida, Washington, Arizona, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and New Hampshire have similar bans of public colleges using any sort of affirmative action. My understanding is there is no race, what is your race box to check on most college applications, and it's almost where in students are either told to, instructed, guided, or have the sense to try to communicate through their essay part or the dissertations of their applications to let whoever is going to be reviewing these applications realize this one was prepared by a racial minority of some kind.
Oh, that's right. Now in California, at University of California, the students can, on their application, they're asked to check a box. Now, it turns out, though, it's illegal for the admissions readers to look at that. So I've talked to the admissions readers at UCLA. What happens is that's a page from the admissions file that's just taken out of the admissions file. So they do not see what the actual race of those students are. But as you said, it is an open secret that lots and lots of students mention their race, especially if they're an underrepresented minority. And in fact, when I've talked to high school students, often, you know, they'll ask me, because one time I was a member of the Faculty Oversight Committee for UCLA admissions, so I'm kind of an insider. All the time I'll get high school students ask me, you know, do you have any advice for how to get into UCLA? And I'll say, well, if you're a racial minority, be sure to mention that in your essay. I get the same reaction every single high school student I mention to. They always say, yeah, I already knew that. So it's just widespread. I think everyone knows it, and it's widespread that people will mention their race in their essays.
And obviously the first assumption from an outsider looking in, you think that's okay, that's a guidance counselor, teacher, faculty, someone in authority is encouraging this to go on for whatever reason, whether it's high schools looking to keep their rate of graduation and college attendance high, whatever the case may be. And just as the professor has talked about here and has presented, if you do a Google search of Tim Grossclose, you'll find a document entitled Report on Suspected Malfeasance in UCL Admissions and the accompanying cover-up that he authored back in August of 2008, which makes for some very insightful reading and is going to be the basis of the website that he talked about. And I mentioned also the other book that he has in the works, Cheating, an Insider's Report on the Use of Race by Admissions at UCLA. He's also the author of Left Turn, Professor Tim Grossclose. It's always great when we can get to the facts from someone who is on the inside of the system that's willing to speak up, because it's only a matter of fairness, equality, and true equality, not favoritism, and not giving someone false hopes and placing them into a dark captivity, which we've seen statistically what affirmative action actually truly does do for kids who are looking for a better way and a better life. And a level playing field just makes everyone work equally hard and achieve to their best. And hopefully this decision will compel that to happen across the board. Thanks for the awareness you raise on this issue. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you, Chris.